We got to the very last three lines of Ayin Tesman Bey is going on to pay. The Gemara says, Tanya Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says that Kol HaShirurim Kulan, all the various Shirurim, Kulan B'Kazayis, all the Shirurim that we have, when it comes, Rashi points out, not every Shir, Ha'amurim B'Ochlin, anything that related to food that has a Shir of Kazayis, Chutz Mitumas Ochlin, Sheshina HaKasav B'Mashman, Vishina Chacham B'Shirurim. The one exception is when it comes to Tumah, because the implications of the pasuk change, and the chachamim therefore change the shear when it came to tuma. The shear of tuma is not kezayis; shear of tuma is a kabeta. So what does it mean? And raylo davar yom kippurim. And the proof for that the tuma, the shear of tuma is different, is learned from Yom Kippur. So my shina hakasav b'mashma. Where do we find first the Gemara to prove to us that Yom Kippur is different, and then we're going to show how it's different by tuma. So my shina hakasav b'mashma. Where by Yom Kippur do we find that pasuk changes it around? It says milo suuna. It doesn't say milo soch. I don't eat. It says lo suuna. The fact that it changed the words around told us something is different when it comes to eating Yom Kippur. Umay shina chacham b'shira. And how did the chacham respond by changing the shir of eating Yom Kippur? They said kikoseves. It's not a kezayis, it's a kokoseves, like we spoke about yesterday, that koseves is larger than a kezayis, and lemaskana less than a kabeta. He says, machlokas, whether it's more or less than a kabeta, we concluded from Rav Zvid that's actually less than a kabeta. So that's milo suna, as different in the pasuk, told us was a different shear. So my raya ludavar yom kippurim, what's the proof from Yom Kippur? So, di mehasam, if it, we learned from the pasuk itself, now we didn't see the difference yet of the pasuk, but if we learned it from Tumah itself, without Yom Kippur, knowing anything about Yom Kippur, Ime Hasan by the Tuma, Hava Mina Orcha de Krahu, Tumas Ochlin, Orcha de Krahu. I would have thought when it came to Tuma, that's the way the Torah teaches us. We have to prove from Yom Kippur that no, the Torah was changing something on purpose to tell us that the shear is different. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi tells us that.
Just trying to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Chachamim who basically came up with the shiur.
Correct.
But a lot of the shiur we learned yesterday from Moshe Sinai. What is he trying to say, the Braisa? What's trying to prove? Because it's the Chachamim who are giving the shiur right now.
Right. So I think I saw someone who asked this question that said, asked the very same question. Isn't Halacha Moshe Sinai? So why is it saying it's a shiur? So let's see what they said in the back here. It was addressed, I saw. Where did I see this asked? Did the Tosos ask this question? No. How do they explain this?
Maybe Yom Kippur and Tuma wasn't Torah Moshe Mitzrayim, only Machal.
Only which ones?
Only Achida, only Kizayis, that Kizayis is all the Shurim Achida.
The Gemara says, though, in Sukkah and elsewhere, that all Shirim, Kol Shirim are
right,
really...
That's what I yesterday right. I learned.
Where did I see this? I definitely saw this somewhere. Okay, I remember where I saw this. But it is addressed, though. So the Gemara says, again, we would have thought, if you just had the pasuk, which we didn't see yet, the pasuk, but if you just had the pasuk of Tuma, that the pasuk changed it around, you would have thought, oh, that's just Orcha Dekra. That's the way the Torah teaches us. There's nothing really that different. So we look to Yom Kippur. That's, no, here there's a significant change by Yom Kippur of the way the pasuk was presented. And as a result, the Chachamim changed the shir. So too, we could look back at Tuma and say the reason why the pasuk was changed was to tell us there's a difference in the shir. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi Ime Hasam. Ime Hasam, if it was from there, from the case of Tuma, Midishina Kasam Betuma, Haba Mina, I would have thought, Ein Sham Shino Yakasa, there's no real change in the Torah. De Orcha Hud Lemichte Mikol HaOchel Shayochel, that double Lashon Ochel Yechel, that's the way the Torah writes. Kiecha Dechsev Gavi Mashke Ashayat Yishte, when it comes to Tumas Mashkin, it says Mashke Ashayat Yishte, double Lashon. That's how the Torah talks sometimes. So we wouldn't have thought anything. But Kamash Malan, Yom Kippurim Dehasam, Vada Shina Kasam. When it came to Yom Kippur, certainly the Torah definitely changed something around from low into low Sunnah. b'mashmo, and v'shinu chacham b'shirum, and as a result, the chacham changed the shir. So amar ma'ata, now we can look back at Tuma and say, es shashinu b'tuma nami mishum taima v'shinu kasifu. Now we can look back on Tuma and say, ah, it actually was a change in the pasuk to tell me something, that she yochal shinu mashmo chashiv l'hu. Asher yochal, the double lashon of achila, tells me something's different, and therefore the shir of Tuma is different.
It's referring to the apostle Mikol HaOchel Asher Yachel Asher Yavo Alav Ma'ayim Itma V'chol Mashke Asher Yishte V'chol Kul Itma. That's the pasuk.
Exactly, that's the pasuk. The double lashon of Achila.
It's Ochel Asher Yachel.
Exactly, the second mention.
It could have said Mikol Asher Yachel.
Right. It could have said
or Mikol HaOchel.
Mikol HaOchel, right, the first one. The second one, Asher Yachel, that is extra. So that's where the drasha is from. So the Gemara asks now about Beitza. So Tumas Ochlim Kibetza Minon. How do you know that the shear of Tuma is that of a Kibetza? So Amir Rabbi Abahu, Amir Rabbi Elazar, Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, Mikola Ochel Asher Yeachel. What's a double Lashon? Ochel Haba Machmas Ochel. Food that comes from other food. What's that? Veza Zeh, Beitas Tarnagolos. Because a Beitza comes from a Tarnagolos. That's the only food that comes from a food. Now, that's not so true. The Gemara is going to make other suggestions. So Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ema gedi. So what do you mean? A goat gives birth to another goat, a kid. So there's another food that comes from another food. No, but the difference is, it's it's not edible. You have to still shchita, you have to shecht it, as opposed to an egg that comes out, you can eat the egg raw. V'ema ben pekua. What's a ben pekua? You shecht an animal, and after you shecht the animal, you find an animal inside, it hasn't been yet born. That animal can be eaten without a shechita. The Gemara uses this as always a very interesting case. They always use this as a litmus test for certain issues. So what about that? Ben Pekua, again, an animal that was never born but found in the womb of a mother of an animal shechted, you don't require shechita. The shechita of the mother works for the shechita of the animal, even though the animal is really alive when you find it. So that doesn't require shechita. No, but still, tan kriya, you have to tear it out of the mother's stomach to get it. So that's why it has to be something that's completely edible when it comes out. It has to be ochel. Vema betas bar yuchni. Maybe it's an egg of a bar yuchni. Rashi says bar yuchni is a type of bird. I imagine it to be like an ostrich or something. A large ostrich.
Or the ostrich.
Yes, a large egg. So maybe a large egg, not just simply a beta as we know it, but a large egg, a huge. So Gemara says, tafsus meruba lo tafsus, tafsus mua tafsus. When you have the option of choosing a larger shear and a smaller shear, we always go with the smaller shear. Now, interesting. Different machlokas how to explain this midah of tafsus meruba lo tafsus, tafsus mua lo tafsus, of tafsus. So Rashi writes elsewhere, not here, that when you try to grab something, it's easier to grab something small. When you grab something big, it's harder to get a hold of it. So you always go for the smaller things, easier to hold on to. The Ritva gives a different explanation, which was I think the more intuitive explanation is that because if you have a larger shear, you have where's the end? There's ein ledavar sof. It always goes. You can always think of a greater shear; it never ends. So a smaller shear is a little bit more defined and it's finite. So therefore, you always go for the smaller shear according to the Ritva.
But then you have like the let's say whatever you call the slav, or that have the little like this.
Then he goes as small as possible as well.
Definitely. Also, it depends really. You can because in this case, basically, that you're talking about tuma. The smaller it is, the more mach. Meaning, the smaller you take, the more machmi you are, because as it gets, because you want that just as small as possible to become tame. Meaning, you're being machmir by this. But in certain the Yom Kippur, you would be meikel.
Why by tuma smaller you're being more machmir?
Because you're saying that as small as possible, that anything bigger than that is tame.
Right. So anything less than that would be meikel then. It would
I'm
be
saying, I'm saying the smaller it is, the more machmir you are.
If you say the shear is smaller, if it's
if you're taking a chicken egg, you're being more machmir than you're taking a.
But also by achila, if you say the shear eating.
No, but by Yom Kippur, no.
If you say the shear of achila is very small, it means you're being more machmir. That for even eating a little bit, you're violating
the right, derisa. But there was one that wasn't. One second, you're right. I was thinking yesterday. All right. No, that's on chiyuv berkas amazon. Then you're being meikel.
Well, I guess it depends on the direction. If you say you have to eat a small shear, you're being machmir on when you have to bench. Even on a small amount, you have to bench. That's being machmir and benching.
Uh-huh, on the other side, right.
So then the Gemara says, "Ema biasa ditzipur." So the zutar tuvah is what you said. Maybe it means a very small bird, a tiny bird, a very small beitza, a small egg. So Gemara says now, Rabbi Abohu diday amar mikol ha'ocha sheyachel. So what he makes a different drasha. He says, "Ochel sheata ochlo mebas achas." Something that you could eat in one moment. V'shiaru chachamim ein beis habliya machzik yoser mi beitas tarnagolas. And something you could eat at one time. And they said beis habliya, the throat, what you could swallow one moment, holds a little bit more than the size of a tarnagolas. So it wasn't the drush of ochel mitoch ochel. Rather, it was a drush of something you could be ochel bebas achas. That's the drusha. And that, they said, the amount you could swallow in one moment is a beta. That's how you come to the conclusion. No questions of something too small, no questions of a large egg, and that's it. That's how the Gemara concludes. Okay, the Gemara now says an interesting halacha right now.
I'm sorry, so just going back on the thing before, so we basically said that we learn Tuma from Yom Kippur, because the same way as in Yom Kippur they change the shear because the lashon changed, then we learn also. But the other one we couldn't, because it would seem that it's derech dibur.
Orcha dekra, right?
Okay.
Now the Gemara makes a very interesting statement. Amar Rabbi Elazar, ha'ochel chayla bezman hazeh, tzarech sheyichtov lo shir, shem yevo based in acher v'yar bebishir. Person, let's say, chayla is fats, certain fats of animals that are usher to eat. So if you eat chayla, shuman is fats that are mutter to eat, chayla are fats that are usher, different parts of the body of an animal. A person eats chalev.
Did they sell it today?
I'm not sure. Not for non-kosher stores. But usually they shecht and they remove it. And they always remove it when it comes to shechting. I have no idea if they sell it for non-Jewish, non-kosher stores. I have no idea.
You never had my question.
So the Gemara says, ha'ochel chalev. Again, someone who eats these iser fats, bizman hazeh, he has to write down how much he ate. Because basin might come, a new basin might come ahead and say the shear is different. So even though really we know that the shear of kezias is the size of an olive. So if I ate less than an olive, so I have no obligation to bring a carbon in the future. But they may come along and change the shear, so I would have to bring a shear, a carbon. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. But you have to keep a track, keep a little notepad of what you ate, how much you ate. This is reminiscent of a Gemara in Shabbos in the beginning where Rabbi Shmuel ben, I don't remember who, so he, there's a machlokas whether or not a person's allowed to use a candle to read or learn by. So he said, what's the big deal? So the Chacham said you can't, because you might come to turn over the oil and the candle and be an issue of Havara and Mechaba, extinguishing and burning on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shmuel says, come on, that's not a big deal. I'm going to learn by the candle. And he almost turned the candle. Shema, he almost did, but didn't. He said, oh, look how great the Chacham are. They know so much better than I know. He wrote down Ani, Shmuel, whatever his name was exactly. I owe a fat cow as a chat. That's when Beis HaMikdash comes. He wrote this down. And there's a discussion in the posting when the person's obligated to keep a list of things he violated. So I've heard certain people do. I heard Rav Nevensal supposedly keeps a list, and I think Rav Chaim Kineski keeps lists of things that they owe chataos to. First of all, the problem is we don't even know. We don't even know what's kind of this. So there's an idea to keep a list. So these are the two sources in the Gemara. One is here, one is the Gemara in Shabbos. Others say, no, that was just a chumra they took upon themselves, but you wouldn't have to bring a chatas. We would not have to keep a list. Eliyahu Navi is going to come and tell us what we have to bring. Anyway, so the Gemara here says you have to keep a list. Keep a list of exactly how much you ate, because they might change the shear in the future. The basin might say the shear is different than what we know it as. The Gemara wants to understand what does it mean they change the shear. Ma yibret bishirim. What does it mean they might make larger shirim? Inema, if you're going to say the mechayev carbon akazayis katan, if they're going to say no, the kazayis that you're supposed to use, the kazayis is not going to change. But we use a kazayis benoni, let's say. We use the size of a medium olive. And they're going to say, you know what, a small olive is going to be enough to mechayev a carbon. So if they change that shear to a small kazayis, so I ate less than a kazayis, let's use weight for now. I ate, let's say, 2 pounds of olives. And the shear, really 4 pounds of olives. So I'm not chayev to bring anything, because I need 4 pounds of olives to be mechayev. But now the chachamim came along and the new basin said, you need 2 pounds of olives to be chayev. So even though when I ate it at the time, I didn't have to bring anything, but now they say the shear is 2 pounds. I have to bring a carbon of what I ate, the 2 pounds, many years ago. The Gemara says is that if that's what they changed, that's not going to work. V'hatani, the Braisa teaches us, this is a little bit complicated now. The Braisa says, Asher lo sa'asena bishkaga v'ashem. That's the pasuk. Person violates an avera accidentally, bishkaga v'ashem, then he feels guilty. What's the drasha? Hashev midiaso mevi karbon. A person who does tshuva of what he did, he realized he did something wrong, such a person has to bring a karbon. Ashkagaso. Lo shev midiaso, if he does not go back on what his das was, ein mevi karbon ashkagaso, he does not have to bring a karbon. What does this have to do with here? So very complicated. This drasha appears in a number of places. It comes up here, comes like Gemara Chulin, comes like Gemara Horios. A few places are very confusing. So if you look at Rashi, I'm really not 100% sure how this fits in the words, but Rashi says, you look at Vahatanya, Rashi, it's towards the bottom. Kilomar v'chi asu beistin, u'mechadesh halacha. Beistin comes and makes a new halacha. Mi mechayv hai de'achal kodem sh'nischad she halacha. I ate something when the halacha was, I need 4 pounds of olives. I ate only 2 pounds. I did nothing wrong. V'hai ha'idna, lav m'shem, and now comes along a new basin and says, no, you're chayiv on 2 pounds. How could they retroactively make me chayiv on something that at the time was okay? V'hai ha'idna, now, lav m'shem midiyasahu. This is not going back and not doing tshuva. I wouldn't have changed in my mind. Di nami hava yada d'chayivhu. Had I even known I was eating chaylev, assuming the guy didn't know he was eating chaylev. Afterwards, he found out he ate chaylev, but it turned out he ate less than the amount. Even if he knew that he was eating chaylev, hava achabei, I would have eaten it anyways because it was less than a shir. Forgetting right now the chati shir, asur min haTorah for a second. I would have eaten it anyways because it was such a small amount. Deho hashta kimim, because now, kimlan, delo chayv haTorah ela al kizayis igur shehu kizayis beinoni. Right now, when I ate the chaylev, the shir that is currently intact is I need a beinoni kizayis. So even if I knew, I would not have been shaved miyadaso. I never would have went back on my das. I would have eaten it anyways. You only chayv a carbon if, had I known at the time when I was doing this wrong, I would have stopped. Only then are you chayv a carbon. But if I knew anyways, I would have done it. That's not chayv a carbon. So at the time, the basin said that the shear is a kizayis benoni. I would never change my mind. The fact that later on, years down the line, the basin comes and changes it to kizayis katam, that's going to have no impact. So again, if what it means to the statement that Shemer Yarbar Bishir means that they're going to make the shirim smaller and be mechayiv you on even less an amount, I wouldn't have to bring a carbon if I ate less than the actual shir of kizayis benoni. That can't be the pshat. Now, this is a very complicated sugi. They ask a number of Mishnah Melchs on this Gemara here, connecting to Gemaras and Horio. It's a very interesting sugya, but not for now. El delo mechayiv a carbon, the Gemara says, ad ika kizayis gadol. So they're going to say, no, they're going to say the kizayis benoni, that's not enough. You need a kizayis gadol. You need a larger kizayis now to be mechayiv a karbon. If I eat a kizayis benoni, and then Basin came along with Eliyahu Navi, Mashiach, everyone comes along and says, the shear is actually a large kizayis, I actually would be exempt from bringing a karbon. So that's what it means. So that's why I've got to write it down, because if I simply write down that I owe a karbon, so it might turn out that when Mashiach comes, I actually did not eat enough. Maybe the time I ate a kizayis benoni, and I actually wasn't chayav a karbon. But now when Mashiach comes, I ate less than a kizayis gadol, and I'm actually not chayav a karbon. If I do bring a karbon anyways, it's bring chulun ba'azara. There's an issur to bring chulun ba'azara.
That's a very questionable. If every time you write something that you don't have to bring a karbon for, then you really end up writing like a whole megillah.
No, you have to write that you did something wrong. But you have to write the exact shear.
Yes, on a shear.
No, you write whatever shear it was, because the shear that you ate now right, it might be chayv a carbon right now, but there's no base on Migdash. Base might come along and say the shear are much larger than what they used to be.
Retroactively.
Right.
Meaning that this is the halacha since before.
Well, it's a good question. I'm not sure whether it's going to work retroactively.
The whole shot here is that you don't go retroactively. That was the limit from
it, it can't be mechayiv retroactively, but it can exempt you retroactively.
Right. So again, so we're going back on something that you're exempt. So why writing something that you're exempt for? Meaning just in case you say, okay, I ate that, and you bring a korban for no reason.
Right. I mean, you have to have two things. You have to have the point, the das, while you sin. Yeah. You have to have the das when you're actually bringing the korban.
Okay.
You need both of them.
Right.
So it can never obligate you retroactively, but it can exempt you retroactively.
Right.
Poter, pater.
Yeah.
Poter, pater, whatever. To exempt you.
Exempt was the problem.
No, right now I ate a kazayas this big. And now, according to the halacha, that's enough for me to have a carbon. But now there's no carbon for me to bring. There's no Beis HaMikdash. When Mashiach comes, Beis HaMikdash is going to come and say, you know what, there's a new halacha. The shir kazayas is this.
So you ate less.
So I ate less than what I have to bring, so I'm exempt.
So what's the problem?
The problem is that unless you do that, then when the time comes, you bring a carbon, and then you end up...
Because if I just write, I'm chayav a carbon.
Right. No problem, I'm not doing
it. I might start tomorrow.
Maybe a friend of yours who really likes you sends you some chaylev and you eat it, and you didn't know.
No, I said, it's not that I don't eat what's not allowed. I do not write.
You don't write, right? Maybe in the note.
Says the Gemara now, Ulamai de Salaka Daita, that's which we had the Havamina, Meikara, the initial Havamina, the Mechaiv Karbon Akazayas Katan. That we said maybe really, the first suggestion which we rejected though, we said maybe what it means is the basin's going to come and say that the Shear of Kazayas is much smaller than it is now. So how would you even have such a Havamina? How would you entertain that? My Yibra B'Shirim. Yibra B'Shirim sounds like you're making larger Shirim, not smaller Shirim. How could you even suggest that it means making a smaller Shear? The Gemara says, in the Havamina, Shema Yarbe B'Karbanos Machmash Shirim. They interpreted it as, maybe there would be more Karbanos as a result of smaller Shirim. That was all part of the Havamina, but that we just showed was rejected, and said, no, they're going to make larger Shirim. And therefore, when a person sins, if a person has such a minhag to write down his sins and Karbanos, he should make sure to also note the amount that he ate. Okay, there's a discussion whether or not a person has to write down the shiurim of the mitzvahs aseis that he did. Let's say he ate matzah. That he ate, let's say. He ate matzah, of a kazayas of matzah. And now they change the shiurim. They say you don't have to in the end of the day, but that's a question that they raise. They have to write down, let's say it was Pesach. I wrote down I ate this much matzah, and then Mashiach comes the next day, which he can't. He doesn't come on
Yom Tov. I'll tell you one thing. There's no way that Mashiach is going to say that kazayit is more than we hold nowadays. Sure not. We're eating like a melon, like a matzah.
Well, the reason for the matzah is because...
My kids eat, I don't know, like 5 matzahs every time is a kazayit.
Yeah, because those are basically a lot of sveikos and the two different things.
I guarantee you from that point of view, it's not going to...
Let's hope not. Those are a lot of kazayit.
Funny because what we learned in one of the masachs, when we really learned kazayit beinonit, right?
Mm-hmm. Pesachim, yeah.
Pesachim. No, it was before Pesachim.
So it talks about 3x3 in Pesachim. Maybe it's not.
We learned even before that. Mm-hmm. I think because remember that Elliot taught it one Shabbos, and we eat like not a kazayit beinonit. We eat like whatever, more like a beta, I think. Pesach we hold.
It's differently because of Pesach, because you're trying to be Mekayim, 2 different mitzvahs of
right.
Yom Tov and then Matzah, and yeah, a lot of eating on Pesach night. Okay, the Gemara continues now and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shi'urin ve'onshin halacha Moshe Mishinai. So the Shir and Onshim are all halacha, how much to eat and the punishments a person gets are all tradition we have from a Moshe. Onshin Michtav Ksivi, what do you mean Onshin from a Moshe? Halacha Moshe Mishinai, that's not true. They're written in the Torah. The onshin, alahachi kamar. This is what it means to say shiur mishel onshin halacha moshe mishina. This is, I think, why I saw your question. The shiur of particular onshin, that's halacha moshe mishina. Yes, we know you get an onesh of skila for violating Shabbos, but how much shiur, how much of a carrying outside do you have to carry for you to be chayiv punishment? That's halacha the moshe mishina. Achem amru. There are others who say beis dino shel yavetz tiknum. They say, no, there's a certain base in the Yavetz, which Rashi tells us the first Y line down. In Rashi, the last word is Yavetz. Hu asnil ben knaz. His basin was the one who established the shiurim for the various onshin. So not that it was halach moshe mishinai, rather it was a basin that established it.
Shiurim from the Torah?
The shiurim, I'd say, for a person who has to...
It says in the Torah?
Does not say shiurim in the Torah. Shiurim...
Why it says? Michtav miktivi.
So that the onshin, the Gemara initially said that shirim and onshin are mentioned. Shirim and onshin are halachal moshe mishinai. Gemara says, what do you mean? Onshin are in the Torah.
Oh, onshin on the Torah.
Shirim, that is halachal moshe mishinai. Okay. What the Brisa meant to say was shirim of the onshin mentioned in the Torah. Those halachal moshe mishinai. So, for example, being mechal Shabbos, you're chayv skila. Well, if I carry outside, how much do I have to get? If I carry a tissue outside, will that be chayv skila? So the halach moshe mishinai tells us how much you have to carry for it to be chayv Shabbos. And let's say I cut down a fruit from the tree. well, how much fruit do I have to got to cut for me to be chayav Shabbos? And let's say I plant, how many seeds do I have got to plant for me to be chayav Shabbos? Those shiurim are halach moshmi sinai. But based in the, and then the other opinion said, no, based Dino Shel Yavetz, they're the ones who told us which shiurim correspond to which punishments. So is it halach moshmi sinai or is it a based in that established them? So achayim omrim, that we read achayim himself, the haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, elo amitzvos, shei navi rasha lechadesh shavar? The pasuk mentioned a few places we have in the Gemara, at least, Gemara Megillah says this, that you, these are the mitzvos, that a navi cannot come along and be mechadesh. How could the Beis Din Shel Yavetz come along and say, ah, the shirim are this, the shirim are that? That's being mechadesh shavar. They can't be mechadesh anything. Everything's set in stone from the Torah. Or halach mosh mesinai. So the Gemara explains, no, davar miata, ela shacham v'chazu v'yistam. Now, really, the shirim initially were part of halach mosh mesinai. Unfortunately, they were forgotten. Came along Beis Din Shel Yavetz, and he remembered them, he reestablished them, reinstituted the shirim the way they were once, halach moshi misinai. The Brisker Rav actually has a nafka mina between these two opinions. He says, can another Beis Din come along and argue and change the shirim? Like above, we have the Beis Din that might, in the future, that might come along and change the shirim. If we pass like the first man Amr, that's halach moshe misinai, you can't come along and change it. But if Beis Din Shel Knas reinstituted it, then it's possible that another Beis Din could come along and change the shirim. So l'chora, the sugya we had above about a person should write down his shirim, because if he ate chayil, he has to write the shir. Seemingly, that would pass like the acherim, that the Beis Din Shel Yavetz were the ones who reinstituted it. So once it has the status of Beis Din, the shirim from establishment Beis Din, that would imply that another Beis Din can uproot it. All right, let's go weiter. Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Hashosem Malo Lugmov. A person drinks a Malo Lugmov, a full mouthful of liquid on Yom Kippur, he's Chayv Kares. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Mali Lugmov Mamish. Not a full two mouthfuls. Lugmov is two cheekfuls, not both. Ela Kol She'ilu Yisal Ken Elatan Echad V'yira Kimali Lugmov. If a person pushes the liquid to one side of his mouth and it appears as if his mouth is really full, two cheekfuls, you have to simply have one cheekful for the shear of Malo Lugmov.
That's for any time it's Malo Lugmov.
Exactly. When it comes to drinking, let's say wine, a kiddush, and whatnot, whenever Malo Lugmov, only one side is needed. V'ha'anon t'nan Malo Lugmov? Don't we say Malo Lugmov that mamish has to be two cheekfuls? Ema kim Malo Lugmov? No, it has to give the appearance of Malo Lugmov, but it's even though, in fact, it's not, it's only one cheekful. The Gemara says, "Meisive, kama yishta v'hechayv. How much do you have to drink in your chayv?" I assume it's referring to in Yom Kippur. So, "Beishami omrim revis, beisil omrim mala lugmav." Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Eliezer ki mali lugmav, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir omer kidei gemia. What's kidei gemia? Like, in order to swallow once, I think one time. To swallow in one moment. Okay. So Beis Hillel says Mali Lugmav and Rabbi Elazar says Kim Mali Lugmav. So the Gemara says Mia Difa Mimasnisin De Okimna Kadeshira Hachanami Kadeshira. So the Gemara is trying to bring a kasha from the opinion of Beis Hillel. We always pass like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel here says Mali Lugmav. Our Mishnah says Mali. So our Mishnah we said Mali Lugmav meant Kim Mali Lugmav. But here Beis Hillel says Mali Lugmav means two cheekfuls. So the Gemara says no. Is the Brice any better than the Mishnah? Just like the Mishnah, we interpreted the words Mali Lugmav to mean Kim Mali Lugmav. So through we're saying Beis Hillel, when he says Mali Lugmav, he doesn't mean it literally Mali Lugmav. He means Kim Mali Lugmav, meaning you need one cheekful. That's sufficient. The Gemara says you can't interpret Beis Hillel to mean Kim Mali Lugmav because that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Gemara asks, three lines from the bottom, if that's how we're interpreting Beis Hillel, Ihachi, Hainu Rabbi Eliezer. That's the same as Rabbi Eliezer. They're both saying the same thing. Gemara says, Ike Benayu, there's a nafka mina. There's a difference between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Eliezer. What's the difference? Mali Lugmav Dachuk. If there's, let's say, Mali Lugmav with Rashi says, interprets this two wide lines down, Ike Benayu Kim Mali Lugmav Dachuk. The Beis Hillel, Ba'inan, Kideshia Sakenu Lutzarechad. The Yira Kimali Lugmav Berevach. They still held, if they have the liquid pushed to one side of the mouth, whereby it looks like you have a full two cheekfuls. The Rebbe Lazar Kimali Lugmav Dachuk. It's enough if your cheeks don't look that full. If it looks a little bit full, that's enough. It's a very subtle difference between the two. Beis Hillel, again, has to have enough liquid in your mouth to give you the impression that your mouth is full. And Rebbe Lazar, again, thinks it's enough that it looks somewhat full, but not fully full. Okay, but at the end
one
of the day,
time,
yeah.
Beis Hillel says that it should be. Yeah, it's less full than Rabbi Yehuda. No, right?
Correct. Beis Hillel requires it to be more full than Rebbe.
Beis Hillel means that it should be really full, and Rebbe Yehuda means as long as it looks like it's like half.
No, they both agree that it doesn't have to really be full. But Beis Hillel
don't get only one side.
Right. But Beis Hillel says it has to look like it's really full.
Right.
And Rabbi Elazar says it's not to look somewhat kimah lukmav as long as it looks a little bit like it's full.
Beis Hillel is more meikel.
Beis Hillel, no, it was more meikel
for Yom Kippur.
You need more to violate Yom Kippur.
Right. And Rabbi is less or more than Malay Lukman. It should be more. Because, it should be less because this way Beis Hillel is more machmir.
Rabbi is. Beis Hillel is. Beis Hillel is usually more machmir.
Rabbi is haluk. Luk hushesh beitzim. Rabbi is he beitzavechamechta.
Right. Well, Gemara is about to ask the question of Beis Hillel. So Ravis is less than a Malo Lugmov.
Right. So it's more Machmir.
Wait, let's. No, Ravis is more. No, I think Ravis is actually more. But Beis Sham is going to be Mekia because he requires less.
Right.
Exactly. But Ravis is larger than a Malo Lugmov. So Gemara asks, Maskiv la Rav Hoshaya im Kain, if that's the case, Havale Mikulu Beis Shammai im Yichumri Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai ends up being more Mekia because he has a larger shear. Ravis is larger than the Kamala Lugma of a Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel bar Machmir, for less than a shear, Beis Hillel is going to be mechayev you on drinking a Yom Kippur.
And this wasn't listed in those that he's.
Exactly. We'll look at this. Let's read the Rashi in the bottom, I guess. Im Kain, two lines from the bottom. Dile Beis Hillel mechayev bichde shisal kenu. It's enough to put it all on one side of the mouth. Havale batsim revius. It's less than a revius. Vahavale mikule Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is more makeup because you're only chayev once you have a revius. That's a lot to drink. And Beis Hillel is your chayiv for less than that. So Beis Hillel is a machmir. If that's the case, v'lisneu, it should be taught b'maseches edios, gavi kula Beis Shammai v'shikulin shnuy Hashem. Usually Beis Shammai is more machmir. There's just a few. I think there are six examples where Beis Shammai is actually more meko. So this should be the seventh example because Beis Shammai is more meko. Why is it not in the Mishnah in edios? So Gemara says, Amar le, Beis Shammai is usually machmir, but here's the
rear.
And so therefore, for you to be Aser on Yom Kippur. Okay. Gemara says Amar le ki ashel ba'og melech abashan it shall that be shami lechumra. No, because when it came to og melech abashan, the shir mali lugmav is subjective depending on the person. So taking og melech abashan, who's a giant, his chifal was huge, is much larger than a revis. So according to that, so Beis Hillel is actually more mekel. It's going to take much more for Og to drink his malugmav to get around
because
it.
Because it goes on the gavra.
It's subjective, exactly. Depending who each person's malugmav.
Right, malugmav is gavra and the other one is heftza.
Exactly. So let's say a person needs to drink in Yom Kippur. He's not feeling well. He knows ahead of the time he's not going to be able to make it. So how much are you supposed to drink? Well, you shouldn't drink a malugmav at a time because then you're chayv karis. Now, you're not really chayv karis because you have to drink. But best practice is to have less than a shear. So what a person has to do, he has to measure his own malo lugmav. Take water, put it in one cheek, one side of the cheek, spit it out, and use that measure as how much less than that he's supposed to drink every whatever 72 minutes, whatever shear you're using. But you test your own cheekful out for that amount. Gemara asks now, Maskev la Rabbi Zeira, Maishna achila dechol chad v'chad b'kikosevis. Why, when it comes to eating, everyone has the same shear? It's a kosevis across the board. It's based on the date, not based on the person. But when it comes to drinking, it's subjective. So Amar Le Abaye, Kim Le Rabbanan Mikikoseves, the Bahachi Misve Daita, Basim Hachi Lo Misve. The Chachamim knows Shirim. They knew when it came to Shirim that when it comes to every single person, when you have the amount of a date, the Kikoseves, that is going to ease a person's mind. He won't be full, won't be completely satisfied, but he'll be put at ease to a certain extent. However, when it comes to Bishasiyah, when it comes to drinking, Bididei, Misve Daita, each subjective shear depends on their own personal cheek size. That's what misvedaita. That's what eases their mind. There's no objective shear. That's just how it works. The Chacham knew that. So maskevla Rabbi Zeira v'chola aholam kula b'kikoseves v'og melech abashan b'kikoseves. Does it make sense that I have a date and I'm misvedaita? Og melech abashan, this massive giant, he's a little tiny date for him. It's like a breadcrumb, and he's going to have Mr. Dite. He'll have somewhat of a satisfaction from that. Doesn't make any sense. I'm going to lay it by. Kim Lulu Rabbanon, the Bahachi, Mr. Dite. Batsim Hachalo, Mr. Dite. What am I going to tell you? The Chacham know what they're talking about. They say that this is what's going to satisfy even Melech HaBashan. However, there will be a difference. You're right. Mihu Kuli Alma Tuva Vog Melech HaBashan Pursa. When it comes to the rest of the world, so we'll be satisfied. It'll take us 30 minutes till we get hungry again. Mechabashan might take him 30 seconds to be hungry again. But for those 30 seconds, he'll be content, and then another 30 seconds, he'll be hungry again. Also, it'll take 30 minutes for us to be hungry again. So Maskevla Rabbi Zeira asks, Basar Shamin Bikukoseves, Vilulave Gifanim Bikukoseves. So let's talk about different foods. A fatty piece of meat, that's going to have the same koseves. Is it going to be the same shear as Lulave Gifanim, what are they exactly? A piece of lettuce and a piece of meat, the protein, the meat is probably going to satisfy me, give me more energy than the leaf is going to give me. So how is it possible that koseves is going to be across the board for all types of foods? So Amalei Abaye, again, Kim Lulu Rabbanon, the Bahachi Misvedaita, Batsim Hachi Lo Misvedaita. No, the Chacham knew that this amount is going to give a person a certain amount of ease, less than that will not. Miu Batsa Shamin Tuva, Lulave Gifanim Purta. When it comes to eating a fatty piece of meat, a juicy piece of meat, that's going to keep me over for another 30 minutes. If I have a piece of lettuce, it might only take me 30 seconds to be full, then I want to eat another piece of lettuce after that. But again, for that time being, it will give me a certain amount of Yisuvedaita. Gemara asks further. So, Maskevla Ravo Kizayis Bichdei Achilas Pras V'Koseves Bichdei Achilas Pras. So, when it comes to the shear of Kizayis, you have to eat a Kizayis in the amount of time Bichdei Achilas Pras. The amount of time it takes a person to eat a full loaf of bread. Now, that range is like anywhere between 2 and 15. We generally pass them between 2 and 9 minutes. That's the shear of Bichdei Achilas Pras. So therefore, as Riku is saying, I imagine in addition to his sons eating a lot of matzah, they probably eat it in a very small amount of time.
Yes.
Quickly, they crush it, they grind it, shove their faces up, and then after probably 10 minutes of matzah mar together, they finally take a breath and have no room for your wife's food.
Right.
So they have to stuff it in the amount of time in 2 to 9 minutes without any hefsek.
My mother's food.
Mother's food, okay. So Kedei Achilas Pras, that's the shear when it comes to Kazayas. But what about a Koseves? Is there a shear Kedei Achilas Pras when it comes to Koseves? So remember, Koseves is larger than a Kazayas. So eating Kazayas in Kedei Achilas Pras is a little bit easier. But taking a Koseves, which is a little bit bigger, do I have the same shear of Achilas Pras? Or is it now going to be made off 12 minutes now to eat the Koseves? That's the question the Gemara asks. So Gemara says, Amar Lebaye, again, Kim Lahul Rabbanan de Bahachi Misvedaita, but Tfei Bahachi Lob Misvedaita. This is what they held, that this amount of eating in this amount of time is what's going to be Yisuvedaita, less than this food, more than this time, will not satisfy a person in this amount. Okay. So Gemara says that Maskevla Rava asks further now. Bichdei Achilas Pras, Chatzi Pras, Bichdei Achilas Pras. So Gemara asks now, referring to a different type of tumah. So you look at Rashi. Rashi tells us what it's talking about. Rashi Chatzi Pras. He says Chatzi Pras sheshiuro lipsol es agvia. So the Chatzi Pras is a shear that passes a person, meaning lo ochel ochlin tamei. A person eats food that's tamei. Chatzi Pras. Amount of chatzi pras, nifsal gufo mil echel b'tshuma. So if a person eats tamei foods of the shear of chatzi pras, he now becomes tamei himself, whereby he's disqualified from eating tshuma until he becomes tahor. The chatzi pras shear gadol hu, it's a very large amount. Kishtei beitzim shochos kedamin be'erven. It's the size of 2 eggs, very tightly packed, compact 2 eggs together, like Gemara Erevin tells us. Vaf bei mashvinan shios tzirufo. This too, you have to eat this large amount. Remember, a kibetz is larger than a kazayas. It's even larger than a koseves, we said. So kibetz is much larger than kazayas. Now, two of those kibetzas now is the size of the chatzi pras. That amount, these 2 eggs, have to be eaten also in the shir kedei achilas pras. That's much harder to do. Kevan de shiur, Rashi continues, Rabahu betfei mehachav litzdarif. You should require more amount of time to eat such a large shear. You should have to eat even more. So again, the halacha is that when a person eats tamei food, he becomes possible from eating tshuma. So how much food do you have to eat? So the halacha is you have to eat 2 kibetos, which is a chatzi pras, in the amount of, let's say, 9 minutes, which is probably hard to do. So the Gemara says, how does that make any sense? So Gemara says, Amar Lei Rav Papa, Hanach Lutumas Givia, Delav Deraisahi. Since tumas gvir, where again a person becomes tummy when he eats tummy food, he becomes disqualified from eating chuma, that's a tuma medirbanan. Since it's only a tuma medirbanan, they were makil and said you could only if you eat it in this very small span of time, in the 9 minutes, are you going to be disqualified. They're not going to say, okay, you have now 15 minutes to eat it, because that's going to be a chumra. If there's more time to eat this tuma, to then become possible from eating chuma, that's going to be a chumra. So they say, only if you eat this tuma in the small span of time, are you going to be disqualified from eating tuma. So they built in a certain heter of the amount of time of eating this, of the tumas gevia. So
what is pras exactly? What's the translation of pras?
I think it's just like a piece. I think so, but is there an exact translation of what pras means?
Does it say pras?
Chati pras.
Half a loaf.
Half a loaf, right? Uh-huh. A piece of bread, I think. Yeah. Your second question.
What does it mean when you're saying that they gave it that since it's midravana? So. We are giving this man of Achilas Pras. So who decides how long it takes to eat the Pras?
Chachamim, when they created the shear of the whole concept of Tumas Gevira.
So they made it very small, the shear, so people shouldn't become tummy so easily. Is that what
you're
saying,
Gemara? They created it, but they also made a certain built-in heter, leniency.
To make it very short, so that people who ever took a little bit longer, they won't become tummy.
Right. Okay. So Gemara says, Umi Amar Rav Papa Hachi. Does Rav Papa really say that Tumas Gevira is only Tuma Medir Banan? The Haksiv, doesn't the pasuk tell us Lo Sitamu Bahen Vinit Mason Bam? Don't become Tame, and it won't make other things Tame. Vamar Rav Papa. Rav Papa comments Mikan. From here we learn Shet Tumas Gevira Deraisa. So clearly, there's a source, the pasuk in the Torah that tells us Tumas Gevira is Deraisa. Midirabanan v'kras smach the ba'alma. No, Papa held it's Chachamim created this tuma, and they found this smach in the Torah to rely on, but it wasn't a real source. It was simply in a smach the ba'alma. Continues the Gemara and says Kol Ochon, quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that all the foods I think are mitzarif together. That's what's going on, right? All foods are mitzarif to the shear of Kikosavis. Yeah. The Gemara says Amar Papa Achel Umtza u'milcha mitzarif. A person eats different types of food. Umtza is a raw piece of meat. And eat some salt with it, you can combine the salt with the meat for the kikosevis. V'afagav delav achilahu, even though salt itself is not edible on its own, came into achli inshi mitzarfin. Even since people eat it in this manner, it's considered mitzarif together. Amar Rishlakish, Rishlakish says, tzir sha'agave yerek mitzarif the kikosevis biyom akipurim. The tzir, the vegetable juices that, or could even be the brine maybe, that maybe it was a cucumbered, pickled, so pickle, you have the brine along with the cucumber, that also can combine with the actual vegetable. Whereas it's pshita, that seems to be obvious. Why would you think the tzir shouldn't combine with it? Mild the same, you would have thought, mashkahu, the brine is considered a liquid, and we say we don't combine the liquid with the food. Kamash milan kolach shuri uchla ochlahu. When it comes to this halacha, anything that's machsh the food, anything that prepares the food, that enhances the food, is considered part of the food itself, and that's why the tzir is going to be mitzarif with the food. Amar Ish Lakish, Ish Lakish says another halacha related to eating on Yom Kippur. Ha'ochel achila gasa b'yom ha'kippur m'pater. Person eats a large amount, he eats to the point, let's say Erev Yom Kippur, he stuffs his face where he's allowed to eat. He eats the sudas mafsekes, he's very full. And comes Yom Kippur, he eats a little bit more, and now he's so stuffed, it's called achilas gasa, it's called mamish overindulging. So such a case, is he's pater from eating. Because achilas gasa is not considered an achila. Because the Gemara says, at my time, what's the reasoning? What's the basis of Reish Lakish? Pasuk says, Asher lo suna ksiv prat lemazik. Person has to be in a point where he doesn't afflict it, or he's not allowed, he has to be in a state of inoy, not a state of mazik. So if he's mazik himself, that's not considered refraining from inoy. It's hard to really kind of read that in there. So Rashi interprets this. You see Rashi, he says, prat lemazik lezeh. He doesn't hold back in the inoy. Only a person who gets oneg, enjoyment, hana, is going to be violate Yom Kippur. Person who's mazik himself, who puts himself at pain, who's achila gasa, overindulges, his stomach feels like it's going to burst, such a person will not be violating eating on Yom Kippur.
And he has to be talking about right after, because otherwise he would be higher before he ate.
Exactly. It's a Rashi. See, Rashi Achila Gasi points it out. That's why I said that. He filled up Erev Yom Kippur in a heter way.
Otherwise.
Right. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Amar Rish Lakish Zar Sha'achel Chuma Achilagasim Mishalim Esakaren Veinu Mishalim Esachomesh. So the lach is, as we know, a kohen eats chuma. A zar, a non-kohen, is not allowed to eat chuma. If a zar eats chuma, he has to pay keren, the amount it costs, and an additional knas of a chomesh, a knas of the rice, is paid a fifth additional to the keren. So let's say he eats chulun, he's stuffed. And then as an achila gasa, he eats some chuma as well. So the lach is, he only has to pay the keren, but not the chomesh, because the keren he has to pay because he basically stole the chuma's food, the kohen's food rather, but he doesn't have to pay the chomesh. Why? So the pasuk says, the Gemara says, ki yochal prat lemazik. The pasuk says, when you eat truma, you have to pay the chomesh. But when you're mazik yourself, that's not considered an achila, then you don't have to pay the chomesh. Stop here, go to the two dots. It's a long daf tomorrow, so we go to the two dots.
Let's go to Shanina B'Mishnah. Let's go to the
Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zar Shakotze, Zar, non-kohen who chews, it's not a way of eating, you just kind of chew something. Se'orim shel truma, mishalim es hakeren, vein mishalim es hachomesh. He chews barley of truma, he only pays the keren, but doesn't have to pay the chomesh because this is not considered eating, it's considered koseis. He pays the keren because he basically took the kohen's food. But the additional chomesh, only when you do an achila do you have to pay the chomesh. Ki yochal, pasuk says, prat lemazik. As opposed to someone who's mazik, when you eat barley is not very good for a person's stomach. He chews barley that's raw, it's not good for a person's stomach, so it's considered mazik, he's pater from it. So Amar, let's go a few more lines to the two das. Amar of Shizvi, Amar of Yochanan, Zar Shebala Shizifin Shalchuma. It's a person, a zar, who swallows Shizifin. I'm not sure exactly, Shizifin, pruned, it says in Rashi. So prunes, he swallowed them, but didn't chew them. And then Hiki, and then he vomited them up. Then someone else came along who ate them. Rishon mishalim keren v'chomesh. The first guy, the czar, pays the kohen both keren and chomesh because he ate it. He swallowed it. It's considered an achila for these purposes. Swallowing is considered eating. He has to pay the chomesh. But the other guy, the sheni guy, ein mishalim ela demei etzim l'rishon bavad. He has to, well, he only has to pay the demei etzim, the firewood purposes, the usefulness of as using a firewood, to the first guy. The first guy, once Rashi explains, once I swallowed the Kohen's food, I gained ownership. It's mine now. So once it's mine, the second guy who took it now, I'm not sure why this is, but the second guy now, he swallowed it, didn't spit it up again. The second guy swallowed it, he just took my firewood away. He stole from me, so he has to pay me the keren, that he said, the amount.
Right. I think it's two reasons. First of all, is Shemachal Shachlan Arishan, that it came Shuv Einam Reunim Lachila, Ela Lehasaka Bilbat. So they're already not ready to eat. To Mekan Shachlan Arishan, Knan Benit Chayva B'Tashlumim. So it's two things, I think. It's first of all, because the first one was gone. Second, because they're not ready Lachila. So you basically eat it.
Right.
Yeah.
And since it's not royal achila, the only thing left for it to be used for is firewood, and that's why you only owe the firewood as the amount of...